I, the Lord your God, am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. You shall not have other gods besides me. He gives us the whole list of what we know as the Ten Commandments. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. It's a good thing that we have progressed so well in our modern society that we really don't need these commandments anymore, because everything in this world is so perfect these days. You go out on the streets and everybody is just as polite as can be, and you go shopping and you don't have any trouble with anybody. You go through the aisles and everybody's very polite while they're talking on their cell phones. And when you drive in traffic, it's a delight, an absolute delight. Everybody defers to one another because they're just so loving and caring. And they say happy things to you, many happy things. And sometimes we say happy things back. No, the world really has not changed that much since the time those Israelites were brought out of bondage in the land of Egypt, and they got on their way. Not only were they given these commandments, but they were treated well by God. So what did they do the whole time? They grumbled and complained, sort of like we do about the weather. I know I was hoping for spring, and the land is covered with white. And then we have those psalms in the morning. Snow and ice, praise the Lord. Okay, so we have that. And we have light and darkness. Well, I'm happy when it's light. Sunny days like this make me feel good. I feel happy. But back to the commandments. We know that in 2,000 years, 3,000 years since those were given, humanity is the same. It's the same humanity. Jesus, in his day, said something at the end of that gospel. Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. Our God understands us well. Now, does our God condemn us because he understands us well? No. He loves us and he calls us to repentance, not so that we will be punished, but so that we can be saved. He reverses the way of thinking in the world. After all, who would have imagined that one would be saved by a crucified Messiah? That was the stumbling block to the Jews. They could not see Messiah dying on the cross. And as far as the Gentile converts to Christianity, they had trouble because it was foolishness, because divine wisdom would say, a God doesn't die. A God lives forever. How would you worship a God on a cross who was dead? Human nature has not changed much, and we need as much help from the Lord now as we needed 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, to do it. I do the will of my Father who sent me. I and the Father are one. Everything that Jesus said and did was in conformity to the will of God. And he calls us to that conformity. He calls us to be perfect like the Heavenly Father is perfect. And we hear those words and we say, well, I'm certainly not perfect, so maybe I should just give up. No. Jesus doesn't tell us to give up. The devil tells us to give up. If you have words ringing in your ears that tell you, I am so far gone that I can never be forgiven, or on the opposite end, I'm the greatest thing in the world and I don't need repentance, then in fact, you do. And I do. We tell ourselves all sorts of things. In this Lenten journey that we're on, we sometimes think, well, I'm going to do this prayer on Monday, and then on Tuesday I'm going to do this, and on Friday I'm going to do stations, and I'm going to come to adoration in the morning, and I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And then in the middle of Lent, you think to yourself, well, this didn't really go well. I've been trying, but it didn't go well. Something got in the way. And what that is something that Jesus knows about us. We're going to have trouble. When Jesus marched into the temple that day and looked around and saw the marketplace taking place in the temple, he not only was angry about the presence of the animals, but he was angry at the presence of the commerce in the temple. My Father's house should be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Why? Why was he saying that they were thieves? Because instead of letting the people bring their own sacrifices, their little doves, their oxen, their sheep, the temple was making huge profits by selling the goods to them at exorbitant rates. The people had no choice. They could not bring in their own. They had to buy it. And Jesus objected to that. He loved his Father's temple. When he was 12 years old, he visited there and conversed with the rabbis, with the high priests, the priests. He loved his Father's temple. He never said, abolish the temple. He never said, my Father hates the temple. No, he said, you are making my temple a house of thieves. So he took a cord and he began chasing them out of the temple, overturning the tables, and driving out all that was wrong in the temple so that the temple could be holy. Jesus was asked for a sign, and he said, the sign is this, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And he was speaking of his own body, his body which was to die on the cross and which was to be raised by his Father in heaven. So I ask this question, what does that have to do with us? Do you recall that he said, we are temples of the Holy Spirit? We are the temples of the Lord? He created us in his own divine image and likeness and called us good at the creation. He wanted to create for himself an abiding place where he could share his life with his creatures, us. He gives us his holy, divine image and likeness, and he says, you are to become like me. Perfect, like the Heavenly Father is perfect. So the question then is, what do we keep in the temple that needs to be driven out by Jesus? And if we think carefully, we know ourselves just as well as he knows us. And we know that there are things in our lives that need to be driven out, that need to be driven out just as surely as he stood in that temple that day and drove out what was wrong in the holy temple. Jesus came to the world to save sinners. We are sinners. We are in the middle of Lent. Next week will be the middle of Lent, but we're almost in the middle of Lent. May our Lenten prayer be that we drive those things out of the temple of the Holy Spirit, which we are, and that we come to truly realize what a great gift God has given to us, who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life.